sit back, relax, and raise a glass. For spirits coming from the past, sip on salt while your skin crawls with your pre-haunting wolf having a ball. Your favorite pools, gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, crack open the can and fill to the top. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, this is your podcast and it's called Hogs and Hogs.
No matter where you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast. We cover all things paranormal while, of course, sipping on the best craft beer from all over the country. Thanks to our sponsor, Tavor. Follow us on all social media at Haunts and Hops. What's up, everyone? I'm Johnny LaQuasto. This is going to be such an amazing show. I cannot wait for our special guest. But first, let's get to the star this week of the show. Usually it's the two stars. This week we got one, and then we have our special guest. She's a veteran paranormal investigator, former team member of Ghost Hunters on A&E, a wealth of knowledge, and probably has some hops in her hand. Find her on all social media at Ashley Trobe, because she's the brilliant Ashley Trobe, holding on to a hellacious kitten right now.
Oh my God, this kitten. Hello, hello. Thank you for that beautiful intro. I am so sad that we don't have Anastasia with us today. That's a bummer. It's going to be really different not having her with us.
I know it's a game time family thing Anastasia had, but she would all like you to know she just announced this past week her one woman show is going to be digital. So follow her at Anastasia Washington or at Anastasia W. I believe the show begins on November 13th. So go to her Instagram and you can actually check out the ticket link. No matter where you're listening from, you can buy tickets and watch the show digitally, which is really amazing. We're very proud of her. So hopefully she'll be back next week. But yeah, it's just you and me, kid.
It's just you and me. But hey, for anybody who ever winds up getting our Patreon, this is him. He's a terror. He's the worst cat in the whole world. Oh, yes.
Yeah, tell everyone what Colin is up to today, because it's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Colin has decided that he doesn't like, or he really loves, my display setup where I have a backdrop behind my computer so I can like film and not have people see into my room. And he decided to climb it, and it snapped the metal bar in half and brought part of it tumbling down. So it's being held together by duct tape right now, which is fantastic. And he's just being, all in all, a general little terror. So, bless. Mm-hmm.
I think since we turned on the Streamlab, I think I heard you go, God, Colin, like 13 times.
Yeah, my entire life right now is screaming at Colin, which poor Todd, because Todd doesn't get yelled at. He's a very, very good cat. So he's not used to the yelling in the house. And so he's just like, why are you yelling? What did I do? What's wrong? And so he's always hiding now.
Yeah, Todd is, for all intents and purposes, a perfect Maine Coon cat, whereas Colin might be part demon. We haven't really gotten him, you know, DNA tested yet.
Anyway.
Well, before we bring in our special guest, who's been a friend of yours for well over a dozen years, I believe now, what beer are you drinking? Because I see a second over there.
Yes, I decided to bring in a beer. So I would like to note that the reason I picked this beer, I had a premonition happen, and I have only had a few like really legitimate, correct premonitions in my lifetime. And the day it happened, I was kind of panicking, and I text you and I text Anastasia, and I was just like, yo, I think we need to do an episode about this. The next day after I told you guys this, a beer showed up at work that, you know, I ordered, but I can't necessarily know what's going to come in when they're seasonal. But it's upside down because that's what Stone does right now. It is called Cosmic Runestone, which runestones are used to tell the future. And they're used in psychic readings a lot. And so I thought, well, what better beer to use for this episode about psychics than a one called Cosmic Runestone? So it's by Stone. It is really delicious. It's a 7.3. I typically don't buy bombers because
It's difficult to drink at 22 or more, you know?
Yeah, and it's just so much. But it's 7.3. I'm still really excited. It is an IPA. Sorry, Anastasia. Mm. but it's really delicious. And the guests or the viewers don't know this yet, but I surprised Anastasia and Quasto with a cute little glass that says Haunts and Hops on it, a little beer glass. I'm drinking it out of that today.
It's a gorgeous glass. I cannot wait. I think I have to come out to California in the next month, so I'm going to come and pick it up from you. But Stone's phenomenal. Stone's so creative. Why is everything upside down, by the way, with Stone right now?
Oh, so it's their marketing ad. It's called No Stone Left Unturned.
Well, my dear, I'm going to, it's become a regular here on Haunts and Hops. The White Elm Brewing Company out of Wisconsin. And God, I love this company. To me, they are like the comfort food of beer. I don't know what their catchphrase is. They should call themselves the Bakery of Breweries or the Bakery of Beer. I'm drinking their PB Mood. It's a peanut butter and chocolate milk stout. And it contains nuts. For that, I apologize, Ashley. But
no. Oh, it's a pretty can.
Yeah, it's 8%. It's a tall boy. And everything White Elm does is delicious. They're essentially, I don't know how many beers they have, but everything I have from White Elm, it's a dessert beer. Not the kind you could drink a lot of, but you can sure enjoy yourself some White Elm. So if I ever go to, I think they're in Lincoln, I'm going to make sure I stop by White Elm and thank them for adding all this amazing flavor to my beer palate. So thank you, White Elm. And thank you to Tavor. Use our code HAUNTS10, HAUNTS10. And once you hit $20 in your first crate from Tavor, you're going to get $10 on us, Ashley Trobe.
10 whole dollars. I mean, that's pretty fantastic. You know, once you hit 20, you're getting half off. That's fantastic. That's unheard of with discounts. So please make sure you use it. We're really excited to have them as our sponsor. It has been phenomenal. They've given us some really amazing beers to review. I kind of changed it up a little bit today by going off the brand, but use it.
And when it comes down to it, Tavor is the best beer delivery service in the entire country. We love them. Follow them at Tavor. You could download the app and you could literally beer shop from your phone every single day. Use the code HAUNTS10 and get the discount. Before we hit the supernatural scoop, Ashley, would you like to bring in our special guest?
Oh, I sure do. I met this woman a little over 10 years ago. We met on a paranormal team together. She has proven to me time and time again that she is a psychic. I don't believe in most psychics, but I can tell you definitively that I believe in this woman. I'm so excited to introduce to you Maria Quijada. Maria, thank you for being on the show.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. We're so happy. And I knew I had to have you for this episode because I had something kind of crazy happen to me. And I figure, you know, what's a better time for us to talk about psychics than right now and to have a psychic on the show.
And Maria, I just want to say the moment Ashley, Anastasia, and I decided to create Haunts and Hops, we were trying to come up with a list of possible guests. And Ashley said, well, we have to have my friend Maria. She told us a little bit about you. And I said right away, I'm like, let's have her on episode one. Like, I want to talk to her. So the fact that you're joining us, I'm honored and I'm really excited because you seem to be an amazing human being, an amazing soul. And so thank you for giving us the time to talk with us today.
Well, thank you very much. And it's nice to meet you. And Ashley has been like a daughter to me.
You know, it's funny. I met Maria, you know, a long time ago. We were friends first, but she actually hangs out with my parents more than she hangs out with me now because my parents love her so much.
So Maria, before we get started specifically into you, every single week we try to do a segment called the Supernatural Scoop where we take a very interesting topic, and we certainly have one this week. So we would love for you to join us if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, I would love to.
All right. It is now time for this week's Supernatural Scoop.
Yay.
If I said the word clonade to either one of you, does it mean anything?
I think of dogs usually, or I think of the movie Splice.
Sheep.
Okay. Well, pretty close. So this actually takes it a step further. So Clonade is a Canadian company founded in 1997. They've been in the news off and on over the last couple of years, especially because, well, primarily because of this recording artist named Kid Boo. And he gave this fascinating interview a little over a year ago. And I'm just going to play a couple minutes of it right now for all the listeners and for both of you, because I really want you to hear what he says. To me, if the guy is making this stuff up, he is very, very credible in his acting. So listen to what he has to say, and then I want to get your thoughts. Here we go.
I guess you were born in Jersey?
Yeah. Originally, my first gen. I'm a second gen now. That's why you see the celebrity births say I'm born in Toronto, but that's false. My first gen was born in Jersey. However, I was cloned by Clonate in Canada. My model number is 0112568, if anyone wants to see the registration in Clonate. When I was cloned, they wiped a lot of memory, but when I stole the documents before escaping, I read that the mother was Puerto Rican and the, I guess the father, the surrogate, you could say, was a the sperm donor was the Sicilian.
Okay, so you're a test tube baby.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Like I said, a lot of the memories from Clonate were erased just so that way the new gen can move forward with whatever new programming was made. I believe in a new norm of like through the creation of synthesis and DNA that we can live immortal through clones and transfer our consciousness. I'm in living proof now.
What's that?
Shout out Clonate. Well, what happened with my first gen is they took the skull because he initially had written in a will to the Raelian movement that if something were to happen to him, they can ship the skull over immediately to Clonate so they can remove a fragment of bone that's located here. And in this fragment of bone, it stores all of your memories and consciousness. And with that, they can make a sufficient replica of yourself, a reproductive version of you, including your memories. And you can be selective as to which ones you keep or don't keep. And this process has been around for quite some time. Like Dolly the sheep was cloned back in, I think, the late 70s, early 80s, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's amazing that they even were able to make Gucci Man.
Right, because they cloned him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Clonate did. I'm pretty sure like that was done from a separate company. Yeah, clearly.
Right. Everyone was saying he was cloned as soon as he got out of jail. He looked different. He talked different.
Yeah. Even his teeth and his smile.
Right, he smiled a lot more.
Yeah, he did, definitely.
Wow. All right, ladies, if this is a gimmick for him to get people to talk about him, it got me because I didn't know who he was as a recording artist before this. Now I know who he is. He sure seems very sure of himself. What are your thoughts, Maria?
Well, you know, he was pointing to this area right here, and your pineal gland is right there, and that's supposed to be your third eye. So I thought that was interesting.
Oh, man, like, I want to believe, but I also don't at the same time, because it's like, if there's a chance that he is a clone, or if he happens to be a clone, that means that they might not have treated him as somebody that deserves human rights while he was in that cloning facility. And I don't know, that kind of stuff, it just always concerns me because I've seen, I've seen Splice, and that movie is just 10 times of awfulness and all the terrible things that happen. I hope it's just drugs or he's high, but I have a feeling that,
drugs, he's really clear of what he's saying.
Yeah. If anybody here, any of our listeners ever played Fallout, right? The synths are a group of the robots, but they're very humanoid looking. They have feelings, they have thoughts, and they're treated like monsters. They're treated like secondhand citizens. And so that's what always gets me a little bit, because I'm concerned that they're going to be treating a clone the same way, and they're going to be treated like they don't deserve rights. And that gets really rocky really quick.
Well, generally they're human. They're just another generation of human, you know, one that, you know, they could take their cells and stuff and, you know, make them smarter or make them, you know what I mean? Just do all sorts of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Quasto?
Well, when I looked up Clonate and researched them a little bit, it gets even more murky. So basically Clonate, founded in 1997, registered as a company in the Bahamas. It was launched by the same person who created, I guess you can call it the religion, Raelism, R-A-E, L-I-S-M, founded in the 70s by this French journalist. Raelism, they see cloning as a step towards immortality. They believe humanity was created by alien technology. And then in 2002, they were the company that claimed to have cloned a baby named Eve. According to their website, they charge up to $200,000 for their services. And their website's simple. It's just clonate.com. And Raelism also rejects the existence of the supernatural.
That's a lot.
It really is.
I don't know.
And also I found interesting too, this guy says that it's a teamwork effort in deciding what memories stay.
That also sounds dangerous. That sounds, again, just like in Fallout 4, the synths. Like, it just seems like they're being programmed for something specific. And if they keep being told what memories they can and can't keep, or, you know, being adjusted to certain things, who's to say that they aren't going to wind up being a part of, and I hate to say it like this, but like a clone army where they don't have memories of all these good things. They only have memories of, oh, this is what happened, that's bad. And they become jaded and they become like these very anti-hero, potentially villainous style clones. I don't know. I don't like the idea of somebody choosing what memories I keep and what I don't.
But what's to say that those memories that were erased don't come back? I mean, you know, look at computers. You think you erased something, and there's still like something that you can find if you search enough. Human minds are like computers. I mean, we're processing, you know, data all the time.
So he's being open about being cloned by this company. Maria, I would imagine Clonaid wouldn't want people to be public about being cloned. I mean, it's so confusing. And he's not the only hip hop artist that has rumors about cloning. I mean, people are saying that Gucci Mane has been cloned when he just said, no, guys, I got off drugs. I got clean. I eat healthy. That can do a lot. And I'm with Gucci on this. Like, when you do a 180 like he did in health, yeah, you might look like a clone because there's a huge difference in the physicality. But I don't know. Do you think these companies would want people to be public about this? Because I don't know how ethically most people would look at what Clonaid claims to be able to do.
He did say that when he escaped, so obviously he was being held against his will. So maybe it's they don't want the public to know what's going on. I mean, you know, think about how much money can be made if you had businesses that could do that. Or, you know, your budget-minded people, they'll have like the Walmart of cloning, you know?
And also maybe Kid Boo thinks that by going public about it, it's protecting him a little bit.
I mean, if he ends up dead, you know, that would be a coincidence, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they'll just get cloned back.
Uh-huh. Without his memories.
Yeah, it is really intriguing. And of course, he's done a lot more videos since this interview. It's a very intriguing. I kind of went down the Kid Boo rabbit hole, I'm not going to lie. There's some very interesting stuff. There's a lot of stuff about Clonaid and cloning. And this show, we love bringing up the interesting topics. Do we know the absolute truth? No. I would imagine Clonaid does. And if Kid Boo really is a clone, glad to see he's doing well. And if this is all a gimmick, then he sure as hell is convincing. So,
yeah, I mean, he looked like he believed in what he was talking about. I couldn't see any fakeness in it.
No, I just know if I have 200 grand, there's a lot of things I'm going to spend that money on before cloning gets involved. That's just my opinion, though.
I would buy a house. Well, maybe a house out of state, but, you know, not in California.
Right. All right. Well, Maria, let's get specifically into you, your relationship with Ashley, and just some of the stories that you've encountered throughout your life. So, Ashley, I'm going to let you kick this off because you guys know each other so well. And I just want to be a fan. I want to listen.
Maria, I'm really glad to have you on. Do you want to know the reason that obviously, I've always wanted you on the show. Like Quasto said, you were one of the first guests that we had listed. We have like a little Excel sheet, and you're literally at the top of the list. We always had planned on having you on. I wanted to wait for the right moment. Do you want to hear that moment that finally like kicked this into gear before we go into who you are? I was driving down the freeway on the way to work, and I pass by, and there's condos being built along the freeway. And I was like, man, that would suck to own a condo, like, right against the freeway. Your bedroom overlooks the freeway all day. Like, that sounds awful. And imagine if somebody put out their cigarette and just like threw it out the window and it caught the brush on fire. That would be awful. And your house is at risk just because somebody's negligent. I go to work. I do my whole day. I drive back. And what do I see on the way back? But the exact spot in front of the condo, the brush was on fire, totally on fire. In under 8 hours, I had imagined that thing happening. And I remember I called my friend Gwen because I was just like, oh my God, what if I willed this into existence? So yeah, fire thing happened. So I figure if we're going to talk about premonitions and psychic abilities, who better than to bring on Maria, who has been there for many investigations with me. It has been a crazy few years because I spent most of my life thinking all psychics were fake. I still believe that most are fake. But Maria has proven to me time and time again that there are real psychics in the world. So Maria, tell us about you.
I'm a mom. I did 26 years working in law enforcement. And let's see, right now I'm working at a fabric store because that's my retirement job. I have two kids and a bunch of cats. And basically I'm pretty normal, you know, except for ever since I was a little kid, I could see dead people, just like the movie. I would have these playmates that I would sit with. And there was one in particular. She was a Hispanic Indian looking lady who only spoke in Spanish. And thankfully I spoke Spanish. She would, you know, she would talk to me and tell me all sorts of stories about my dad. And so I would bring this up with my dad, and my dad goes, how do you know that? How do you know this? You know, like about the time that it took him to be 3 years old to be potty trained and things like that. And how heavy he was as a baby. I mean, he was like, you know, like the refrigerator Perry big, you know. And my dad would just go, how do you know this stuff? You know? And I said, Nana told me. And he goes, who's Nana? You know? And I go, I don't know her name. She just tells me to call her Nana. Well, they finally figured it out. Him and my mom figured it out that it was my great grandmother on my dad's side. And she was born, she died 70 years before I was born. And
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But we would sit and talk, and she would tell me all sorts of stories, you know, and I would be like, oh, neat, you know.
Wow. So this wasn't just a brief visit from an apparition. I mean, she would really spend time with you when just at any point in the day she would just appear and you would be there, or could it be a situation where you would ask for her and she would appear? How did it usually work?
It was usually at night, after my bedtime. And I've always been kind of a night owl, so I would wake up in the middle of the night and she would be there. And so, you know, I would talk to her and she would talk to me. One of the things I remember when I was 2 or 3 years old, I would go out to the back porch and I would like sit on the back porch and I would see people in the sky. And they would be like laying out in the sky. You could see the stars through them. And they would be telling me things, but I wouldn't hear them physically, but I would hear them in my head. And that was so long ago, I don't remember what they used to tell me. But now I'm wondering if they were angels or aliens. Who knows, you know?
I got to ask. Over the years, obviously, you and I have investigated together quite a bit. And it's not that common for people to use their sixth sense, you know what I mean, as their primary tool in investigating. But you have that very forefront and you use it very often in our investigations. What are some of the times that you feel your psychic abilities were way more pertinent than whatever technology we might have been using in a case at that time?
Well, remember Hartley's Botanical? Oh, I don't know if you were at that investigation. Hartley's Botanical is down in Somas. This guy was telling us, Mr. Hartley was telling us how some of his workers were afraid to be anywhere near the river bottom, especially after it got dark, because they would see things. And then Mr. Hartley, he said, well, you know, let's go to the river bottom. And I said, I don't want to know anything that happened there. I just, you know, I just let me feel it, because I like going in cold. Because, you know, it's so easy if people tell you what's going on, it's so easy to interpret that and put, you know, I don't know. It's just, I like going in cold because I don't want to know anything. And so we're walking along the river bottom And we're just all chatting. That was with Jean. You remember Jean, right? And we're just chatting, and Jean goes, "I know the whole story, but we're not going to tell her." And we're walking along, and then I stopped, and they said, "What's up here?" You know, and I said, "There is a lady dressed in blue, and she is bleeding from her wrist, and she's crawling on the ground." And Jean goes, "Oh my God." And Mr. Hartley goes, "That's where they found her." There, I guess there was a murder back in the 40s where it was a murder-suicide type of deal. This woman got pregnant by a guy who was parents were rich ranchers out there. And, you know, she told him that, you know, we're going to have a baby. And so he dropped her like a hot potato, saying, "I'm not going to marry you. You know, you come from the wrong side of the tracks," basically. You know, so she goes to the river bottom and she tells her boyfriend where she's going to be. Anyway, he follows her out there. And by then, she had already slit her wrists. And she goes, "I don't want to die. I don't want to die." And he goes, "Well, you're going to, you know," basically, you know, he just left her there, you know, her crawling after him, basically. Everybody was kind of freaked out, especially remember Jason Ashley? Yeah, he was
Yeah.
really freaked out, you know. You know, and I think that night I felt like I was so on that it was weird. It was almost electrical.
Well, I remember one of the first times that you legitimately convinced me. And you've been showing me quite a few things over time, but we were doing an investigation at a church. It was St. Paul's Church in,
Oh yeah, Santa Paula.
thank you, in Santa Paula. We were at St. Paul's Church in Santa Paula. Duh. And while we were there, I remember I was in one of the rooms and I was telling Sarah, I was like, "Man, I just keep seeing a little girl. I just keep seeing a little girl, and I keep thinking about the name Elizabeth, which is my sister's name." I was like, "Why am I thinking about my sister during an investigation? This doesn't feel right. This is weird. I don't understand." And I couldn't get her out of my head. And then you walk into the room, and I was like, "Maria, do you feel anything?" And you're like, "Oh yeah, there's a little girl in the corner, and her name is Elizabeth." And I was like, "What is this?" And I lost my mind. Because it was one of the first times that somebody was able to like really show me that psychic abilities can be real. And I lost it. I could not believe that you were having the same thoughts that I was. And it was down to the T. I described the little girl to Sarah, and then you described it to both of us while we were there. And Sarah's looking at me, and she's looking at you. And like, it was just this whole thing where it was like, oh my gosh, like, this is real. This is actually happening. This is fantastic. And that was, you know, one of my first experiences. And over time, you've shown me time and time again. Unfortunately, we had a caller that wasn't able to make the call today after all, but you know, they contacted us to ask us some questions. And do you want to talk about the doppelganger situation that happened in my home 6, 7 years ago?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I kind of remember that, but I remembered that it was causing a lot of problems, you know.
You know, listeners, Quasto. So what was happening was I was at my home and I was having what I thought was a ghost. We had been doing a lot of investigations. I wasn't really good about cleansing myself back then because I was like, whatever, it's you, I'm young and whatever. And I wasn't good at that. And I have since learned to fix that. But I was having what I thought was just a paranormal, you know, haunting in my home, just weird things happening all the time. But I was angry all the time when those things would happen. And I would get angrier when they would happen. And then I started realizing that all of these things that were happening when I was at my angriest points. And so I had Maria. And Maria, who was our friend that came in?
Kristen.
Kristen. Kristen and Maria, I had them both come into my house. Because I was getting overwhelmed. I had no idea how to handle this because it didn't seem to be a ghost at a certain point, which is why, you know, I called both of you in. Quasto, Kristen is a friend of ours who, like, she focuses specifically on cleansing homes. Like, that is her specialty. And so they came over and Maria and I were talking, and I hadn't told her anything about this spirit, whatever, that I was seeing. But I started explaining like what I thought that they looked like. I was like, oh, you know, oh, wait, no, it wasn't even that. You started explaining what you thought they looked like, Maria. And you were just like, oh, she's this tall. Mm-hmm. She has blonde hair. It's this length. And you're going on. And as you're saying it, it starts to click. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. And I run over and I pull out a picture and I hand it to Maria. And I was like, Maria, is this the person that you're seeing? And she's like, yeah, that's exactly who's in the house. And I was like, cool. This is a photo of me from when I was a child. And she's like, oh, you created your own doppelganger. And I was like, what does that mean? And I lost my mind because I was like, I don't understand. And Maria, please, please tell me or tell our guests what it is that I did.
Well, human beings have a lot of energy. You know, even when a human being dies, the energy that you have in you, energy doesn't die, basically. So you have all this energy. And when you're angry, that's when your energy at its peak. Being angry at yourself, being angry with a situation, being angry, you know, you start thinking about, well, when I was young, you know, I didn't have all this, you know, crap happening and stuff, you know. And so basically, you know, you create a doppelganger, you know, you go back to what when you were happier in life, and that's when you create something from yourself. And so it was a little girl, and the little girl was you. And it was probably during a time where, you know, you actually felt good about life.
Wow. So essentially it's not residual energy. It's energy you're giving off that starts to have a life of its own in a way. Well,
so this is going to happen to a lot of people during quarantine. Yeah. And that's why I wanted this guest to call earlier. And this, a lot of people are going to be going through this right now. But when you're in a room and you're just stuck in that room all the time and you have nowhere to go, the energy can't go away. It has to transfer somewhere. That's just a scientific fact, right? You cannot create, you cannot destroy energy. It can only be transferred from here to there. And so when you're in this room, right, say it's your bedroom and you spend all your time in that room and you have all this anger about all of this stuff, that energy is just stuck in this room with you. It has nowhere to go. And at some point, there's just so much energy that is just bouncing off the walls around you that it starts to form into something. And so what had happened with me was I was going through a really, really dark phase, and I was having a lot of terrible things happen in my life that I was just angry all the time. Mm-hmm. And when things finally started to get better, there was just this weird separation happening where I thought it was a haunting, but what it turns out was I had created, and not created because, again, energy can only be transferred, but I had somehow found a way to get all of my energy to form into this one terrible version of who I was, but it took form of myself as a child. You know what I mean? Because who's going to say no to a child to anything, right? Who's going to ever want to fight with that? Yeah. And so it became this big thing where I ended up having to have Kristen and Maria come to my house. We had to do multiple cleanses, and that was the only way to kind of get this thing under control, because it got to the point where I wasn't sleeping. I thought there were earthquakes happening. Like, I literally had woken up several times thinking there were earthquakes happening, because like my bed would feel like it's shaking. And it got so overwhelming. You know, creating your own doppelganger is such a weird thing. But it was even more weird that Maria was able to explain what it looked like as a child without knowing what, you know, we'd been friends for a long time, but I don't have pictures of myself up as a kid. I only have like two photos of myself as a child. So it was really wild for her to be able to describe that. And we did the cleanse and things got easier and better, but it was a really wild time to be friends with a psychic.
Now, Maria, have you noticed, does that happen more than people realize with doppelgangers?
Well, look at poltergeists. You know, poltergeists, usually a poltergeist will emanate around a kid or kids that are at a point in their life where they're maturing. You know, they're usually like sub-teens or something. And so they have a lot of emotions and a lot of a lot of angst at that time. And it's, you know, it might not even be a ghost, you know, it's the energy that they're putting out to the, you know, to the universe. And so these things would, will happen where, you know, things will fly off shelves and stuff. It's always when they're, you know, near something. There was this one time when I was pregnant with my son, and I was going through a bad time with my ex-husband, and, you know, he was having an affair and all this and that, you know, and I was just so overwrought by everything that was going on. And I happened to walk into my kitchen, and I was really angry at that point. And all of a sudden, the kitchen doors of the, you know, where you keep food and stuff, fling open, and cans started falling, you know, and I'm just like, whoa, you know.
While we're talking about, you know, the negative doppelgangers, can the exact opposite be true? If you're constantly exuding out a positivity and a vibrant energy, can that become an entity in a way? Because we hear the negative stories, and obviously they're somewhat terrifying, but can the same thing happen? And maybe that's just karma. I don't really know.
I've never heard of a positive poltergeist. Usually poltergeist activity is usually destructive. I've never heard a story about a positive one. I would like to hear a story about a positive poltergeist, but I've never heard one.
So basically, you keep the positive energy to keep the doppelgangers and the poltergeists away, and that's your prize.
I guess. Maybe I'll know when, you know, I'm dead, and, you know, and then all the secrets of the world will be revealed to me, right?
So I gotta ask, what is, you know, I've had a few, you know, like I said, premonitions where it was like, oh, that's really life-changing. What is like one of the most positive premonitions that you've had that's come true that like positively affected somebody that you know's life?
So it wasn't more, not a premonition, but I knew that I had to do it. So I guess it was kind of a premonition. My son was 3 years old and he was really ill. I mean, deathly ill. And the doctors were, you know, they said, okay, tomorrow you bring him to the hospital and we're going to have to run all these tests on him because we don't know what's wrong with him. And he's 3 years old and I was freaking out, you know.
I'm rocking my son all night long, just asking, you know, please take away what's wrong with him and, you know, give it to me because I'm stronger. I can handle it and, you know, all that. And then I fell asleep in the rocking chair and I woke up that morning and my son was well, you know, but I was awfully sick and I ended up in the hospital with rheumatic fever.
Which is a common illness that little kids get, if I recall correctly.
That's correct, but I got it as an adult.
Wow, so there was some kind of higher power that was really listening.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, and so I was sick for a while, but obviously I got well.
Yeah, of course. And going back to when Ashley saw the little girl, Elizabeth, or mm-hmm. sensed the name Elizabeth, when you walked into that venue, how did you know the little girl's name was Elizabeth? Did you walk in and she said, hi, I'm Elizabeth. Or did you just look in and you just automatically knew when you saw her?
I just knew.
Wow.
Well, that's what's so weird, because in my mind, like, I just knew, but I also, because it's my sister's name, me being, you know, paranoid and constantly doubting myself, I was just like, oh, this is clearly me just thinking about my sister, and that's all this is. And it's just, it's a wild thing where you do just know sometimes, but you start to second guess it, and you're just like, no, I don't get it. I have no idea. Marie and I actually talked about this recently, about how I always second guess anytime I have some sort of premonition or psychic ability or whatever it is. I don't think I'm psychic. I think that I happen to be empathic and more open to things around me, which leads to these experiences. But yeah, her and I were talking about it, and, you know, just it feels like every day my third eye just gets a little bit bigger and it just sees a little bit more than it did before. And it's a weird thing because it's hard to explain because you do just know. Sometimes you are like, yes, that's Elizabeth and that's what's going on right now. And there's no way to explain it because if you're not around people that also have that kind of ability, you sound kind of like you're just making stuff up.
Maria, have you ever had, obviously we talked earlier, you know, you mentioned at a very, very young age, you were talking to your great grandmother. So clearly as a child, you knew there was something different, something special about you. Why do you think you had these abilities? Is there anything familiar to them? Is there anything that maybe has been passed down that you know of?
Well, that's funny that you asked because I'm half Italian and half American Indian and Mexican Indian. And on my dad's side, I'm Indian. So I had an aunt who was known as a curandera, which is a healer, but she would also do spells and stuff like that. And she was really good at what she did because people were always asking her, you know, to do spells, love spells, whatever kind of spells that they needed. And, or if they were sick, they would ask her to please heal or, you know, heal them and stuff like that. So when I was about 4 years old, she was dying, you know, my tia Yaya, and she asked my dad to see me. And so my parents took me to see her, and I remember her bedroom was, there was all these candles everywhere, you know, and she was on the bed and she was tossing and turning and groaning and, you know, she was dying. And as soon as I got in there, she stopped and she looked at me. And the thing with my Aunt Candelaria was what her name was, but I called her Tia Yaya. Was she had one, she had a prosthetic eye in one of her eyes, and so it would roll around, and as a little kid, it would scare me, you know? So she stopped moaning and groaning, and she sat up, grabbed my hand, and says, starts saying, eres tu, mija, eres tu, which means, it is you, my daughter, it is you. And then she let go of my hand, and I screamed because I was scared. And I think she died an hour later after that.
Whoa. Do you feel like she knew that there was something special about you, or do you feel like she was passing something down to you in a way?
I think both. I think she knew that there was something special, and I think she passed it down to me, you know, because after that incident, it got stronger.
And do you ever still sense her in your life?
No. Now my grandfather, I sense, and my father, I sense. In fact, I've seen my grandfather quite a few times, and I've seen my dad, you know, peeking around the corner, like, you know, trying to get a look at me, you know, and things like that. But not her,
okay.
You know, and it's like with my great grandmother, you know, after I had that connection with her when I was little, as soon as my dad was able to figure it out that it was his grandmother, my great grandmother, it kind of went away. But everybody on my dad's side of the family have had some kind of gift, you know, like I told you, my aunt was a healer and a witch, you know, basically. My great-great-grandmother was an old Indian woman who was a healer, too. And, you know, it just goes back generations.
And
my great-uncle was a shaman, you know, with the Chumash Indian tribe, you know.
Oh, my God. And is it comforting to you when you say, you know, you see your dad peeking around the corner or your grandfather? Because most of us don't really see that. Like, I believe my two of my grandparents came to me in a dream once, and it was so vivid. You know, I have an aunt who is very sensitive and has spoken to spirits. And so when I told her the story, she just started laughing. She said, that wasn't a dream. That was them.
Well, that's because when you dream, your consciousness goes away and your subconscious just opens up.
Hmm.
Okay. You know, when you're conscious, you know, children have the most wide look at the world. You know, they accept what they see, and, you know, and they don't question it because it's what they see, it's what they hear, it's what, you know. But as you grow older, you know, people tell you, oh, no, you know, that's not right. You know, you're just imagining, or, you know, you're doing this, you're doing that. You become jaded. Happily, my parents never acted that way. My dad just goes, oh, she's got the, you know, it's genetics. It's, you know, she's the next one in line. And so, but yeah, seeing my dad and my grandfather and stuff is very comforting, you know, to know that they're still around.
Have you ever had a situation where your abilities maybe frighten you a bit, or was there a situation where it was almost too much to handle? Because you're the kind of person that you like to help people, but by no means do you walk around saying, hey, I'm a psychic. Like, you seem to be the kind of person, and Ashley's mentioned this, you don't necessarily advertise, you don't brag, you have this gift, and if people need help, you help them. But have you ever been in a situation where maybe you saw something that you didn't want to see, or maybe something that was a little bit too much?
Well, one time I went to, there's this little cemetery that we all like to go to called Nordoff Cemetery in Ojai, which is a little town, you know, about 15 minutes away from where I live. Mm-hmm. And usually it's pretty quiet, you know, you get EVPs and you see things, and, you know, I photograph a lot, and, you know, I'll catch something on a photo or something, but it's usually pretty, you know, you never get bad vibes from it. You know, it's, you know, there's no creepy feeling or yucky feeling when you go there. It's just, you know, kind of, One time I went with some of my friends that were part of another ghost hunting group. We just all decided to go there, you know, for fun. And we got there, and it was like somebody had put a bowl over the whole area. It was like you couldn't hear anything. It was, you couldn't even hear the crickets, you know, which is one of the things you hear first thing you get there. And I'm just like going, why is it so quiet? It's, you know, it felt staticky. It felt like there was no air. It was just like everything was just at a standstill. And, you know, my friend Tommy was like going, yeah, I don't like how this feels. And I go, yeah, I don't either. And maybe we should go. And the other guy, Dave, that was with us, goes, well, let's do an EVP just, you know, before we go, just so that, you know, it's not for naught, you know?
Yeah.
And so we do EVP. And while we were doing the EVPs, I could hear somebody breathing in my ear, but it was raggedy. It was like, and I'm telling them, I was just going, Dave, you know, he was holding the recorder, and I go, Dave, I go, can you hear it? Somebody's breathing in my ear. It's loud. And they're like, we don't hear anything. And I said, no, it's loud and it's scaring me. I go, we need to leave. And so they go, yeah, if Maria's scared, you know, we need to leave. And so we got back, and I went back home and went to bed. And the next day, Dave sends me a sound clip of what happened that night. And he goes, I don't know. He goes, I don't know. We didn't hear it, but you sure in the heck did. And in the sound clip, you could hear me saying, you know, there's somebody breathing in my ear, you know, and I go, and it's like right next to me. And this is, I am scared. And then you hear a voice, this really grumbly voice says, because I can.
Oh,
that's very Nordoff. That happens at Nordoff often, where there seems to be a lot of intelligent spirits that happen to be there, because they do seem to respond when we seem concerned about something. An investigation that Maria, myself, Brandon Alves, several people were on, we were joking around, walking around the cemetery, and at some point, you know, we're walking and we say, well, whose tomb is this, as we step over it, and you hear something respond and go, well, that's not my tomb. And it was like, oh, what? Like, And it was clear as day. Maria, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember the butt grabber?
At St. Paul's?
At Nordoff.
No.
There was some ghost there that was known to grab girls' butts. And I know it grabbed my butt. And it was the weirdest feeling because it didn't. It was like the muscle in my butt just contracted. I couldn't feel a hand on there, but it contracted like somebody grabbed it.
I'm going to guess it was the same person that was breathing in your ear really heavy. That's just a possibility.
A horny ghost. Wow.
I could talk to you about this stuff all day. I know Ashley can. And next time we'll have a little bit better reception. It'll be a little bit smoother. So, but if you have any more stories right now, feel free. If not, we can wait and have you on again soon, because we definitely love to do it if you'd like to join us.
I have a lot of stories. I mean, some of them are frightening. Some of them made me feel good. When I've done seances, I've had really good reactions from them, you know, where, you know, like I said, I go in cold and I don't want to know anything about what's going on, you know, what questions they have or whatever. I just, you know, want to go by what comes to me and stuff. But maybe another time, because I do have a lot of stories.
I would be honored to have you back. Let's just do another whole episode with Maria where we just get right to the stories. And we love positivity, too. We want to hear the stories that make you feel good. And, yeah, if you want to throw in a little frightening tale here and there, it's all stuff that actually happened to you. So, I mean, yeah, we'd love to have you back. Right, Ash?
Always. I bring her to everything. I did a pilot like a year ago, and I was like, I need Maria to be a guest on this pilot. So we brought her on there, too. So anytime I can bring her on, I'm happy to.
And, Maria, are you still actively doing investigations whenever possible?
I haven't done one in a long, you know, I mean, ever since COVID-19 happened, I haven't done anything. I have an 88-year-old mother that I have to take care of. So,
sure.
You know, I don't want to go somewhere where, you know, I might contract it. You know what I mean?
Trust me, I'm working in a hospital right now during the pandemic on the front line. So I completely understand what you're talking about. And, you know, someday I would love to go on an investigation with both of you. It'd be an amazing experience for me. So hopefully someday we can pull that off. But until then, is there anything you would like the people to know about you, promote, ways to find you, anything at all?
Well, I'm on Facebook under Maria Quijada, and I'm on Instagram under The Ghost and Ms. Q. So, I mean, you know, if somebody needs help, I'm more than happy to help them. I do not take money. I don't, you know, I think because if God has given me a talent to help people, then, you know, you shouldn't have money. You shouldn't take money from them.
God, you're amazing. Thank you so much. And so, yeah, at
Maria Quijada.
Right. Okay. So look up Maria Quijada. We'll be able to find you on Instagram as well as Facebook as well. Ashley, how about you? Go ahead.
Oh, no. Instagram is The Ghost and Ms. Q.
Perfect. The Ghost. I love that. That's great. And then, of course, Maria Quijada on Facebook as well. Ashley, how about yourself?
Ashley Trobe on all accounts. Super easy. But I will say, if you can find me, you will be able to find Maria. She's the second you find my account, you will find all of our guests. I promise you. So find me and you'll find them.
There you go. And of course, Anastasia Washington at Anastasia Washington and Anastasia W as well. Her one woman show beginning November 13th. Just find her on social media. You can buy a ticket. And I think it's really cool. You could watch from anywhere in the world. Definitely support her because there's a lot of work that goes into it. And of course, we're at Haunts and Hops on social media. Use the code HAUNTS10 for Tavor, and we will give you $10 off your first crate of beer. I'm at Jay Quasto. Should have some good news coming up soon regarding a comedy special, but right now we're getting there. So until then, it is time for all of us to say goodbye. Maria, thank you once again.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.